Okay, so we're continuing the sugya of Ben Sarer Umar today. So I asked you to take a look at the Maharal. The question we're going to deal with today is again, just going forward, today and tomorrow, Ben Sarer will still be doing Ben Sarer Umar. And Thursday, Rabbi Levin is making a siyum on Seder Moed and giving shir for the Holy Yeshiva. On Sunday, Be'ez Hashem, I hope to start Baba Machteres, which is the first, I guess, major sugya. And I think on Monday, we're going to have the privilege of having a guest shir. We may have a couple over the next couple of weeks, because there are a lot of guest Rosh Yeshiva coming from Israel. So on Monday, we're going to have a guest shir from Rav Mendel Blachman of Yeshivat Keren Biavne. So that should be fascinating. And no matter what we say about Baba Machteres on Sunday, I guarantee you, you will not have heard what Rav Blachman is going to say on Monday. He's a very unique style and thinker and original. So that's Monday. Okay, so let's get started over here. The issue we're going to be dealing with is we keep on the Gemara told us that the Mishnah told us that Ben Sarer Umar is nidon al shem sofo, that he gets punished now for what he's ultimately going to do. So the Gemara says, well, what's he ultimately going to do? All he's done so far is eat some meat and drink some wine. So the Gemara says sof melastim misabrios. He's going to be a highway bandit. He's going to be a robber. So the Rambam adds, no, not just a robber, but a murderer also. But still, all of those things, being a robber, you chayv money. Being a murderer, you chayv saif. For none of those things are you chayv skila. So even if we want to pre-punish him, it doesn't make sense that we should pre-punish him with skila. It makes sense that we should pre-punish him with something else. So yesterday we spent a lot of time on a chakira, I guess you can call it, fundamental question of what is the nature of the punishment of Ben Sarer Umar. Is it a pre-punishment? Is it an onesh that the chiddush of Ben Sarer Umar just tells us to give it early? Or is it a din rodef, that it's not really an onesh for any crime, it's to protect either him or any future victim? I just want to mention in that regard, before we move on to the skila issue, that there is a Reb Chaim in Hilchas Gerushin. Reb Chaim in Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Vav Halacha Tes, the first piece in Hilchas Gerushin, Reb Chaim talks about the following. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samaches, right at the beginning of the parak of Ben Sarer, the Gemara has a Hava Amina that Ben Sarer Umar applies even to a Katan, even to someone who's not yet Bar Mitzvah, that he could be a Ben Sarer Umar. So the Gemara said, no, it has a Pasuk there, the Darshan said it's not so. But the Gemara originally has a Hava Amina and entertains the thought that a Ben Sarer Umar could apply even when he's a Katan, he could get killed for it even when he's a Katan. Frekt Reb Chaim v'kasha. There's no edus against the katan. You can't be mekabel edus against the katan because you can't be mekabel edus shlo b'fnei baldin. That v'huor b'bailov, it has to be in front of the baldin. And over here you don't have a baldin because the baldin is not a bar das. Katan's not a bar das. He can't be mekabel edus in front of him. How does it even get off the ground to do a whole procedure, a whole court case against the katan? Why was the Gemara have a hava mina that we would do something like this? So if you can't be mekabeledus in front of him, you should get off the hook. So why does the Gemara even entertain the possibility that there's such a thing as a katan being a Ben Sarer Umar? So what does that lead you to believe? Well, what would you say based on what we said yesterday? That if you hold Ben Sarer Umar as a din in onesh, it's a din based din, it's exactly like any other onesh in the Torah, then this is a good kasha. How could you have such a havamina? Part of the nature of the proceedings that need to go on in a beis din is that the proceedings need to involve kabbalas edus b'fnei abaldin. There are rules that have to be met, and you know, and there's no onesh for a katan, so it would be very troubling. But if you say that the nature of what we do to Ben Sarer Umar has very little to do with Onesh, and has more to do with either protecting him or protecting his future victims, similar to why we kill a Rodev, well, then it would seem to make a lot more sense. Then it would seem to work very nicely. We don't care that he's a Katan. What if you have a Katan who's a Rodev? Do you kill a Katan who's a Rodev? Halacha? Yes. We're going to have an example later in the Gemara. If, let's say you have a fetus that's threatening the mother's life, that if the mother were to give birth to this fetus, she would die. So what do? The child's a rodef. You kill the rodef, you terminate the pregnancy. Right? How can you kill the child? He's not about onshin. Rodef isn't about onesh. It's not about punishing him for an avira that he had done. It's about stopping the crime from happening. Either protecting the victim, protecting the perpetrator. It's about stopping the crime from happening. And it applies even to a katan. So if it's, Reb Chaim doesn't use the word rodev, he doesn't say midin rodev, but he does say that it's not midin onshin, that it can't be a din of a regular onesh. The way he says it, v'tzorach lomar d'sham shayni d'kivan d'bina l'chayvo gam k'shu katan imkein ein ze mishum d'chayv misa. The time of d'bina l'chayvo mishum d'kivan d'al shem sofo unerag imkein gam katan n'chayvinan. That it's not a regular chayv misa. He said, "Lo chiyuva shemischayev hu b'misa." So what he means to say is, I think, is that it's not a regular standard din onesh, because that wouldn't apply to a katan. But going back to this question about skila, so there are two sections to this maral. One of them, the first half of the maral, I want to deal with Bez Hashem tomorrow, but the second half of the maral is what I want to focus on today. Maral quotes two kashas of the Re'im. Anyone know who the Re'im is? Just curious, anyone know? The Re'im is Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi. If you're into Rashi on Chumash, beyond the cursory reading of Rashi on Chumash, so there are many Mefarshei Rashi. There are many people who have spent their lives writing Svarim explaining just Rashi on Chumash, which is really a phenomenal thing, because Rashi on Chumash doesn't really say anything novel. Rashi on Chumash, the godless of Rashi on Chumash, that he chose various memory Chazal, everything is straight from Chazal. The godless is what he chose to quote, what he chose not to quote. But there are a variety of Mefarshim, just Mefarshei Rashi and Chumash. The granddaddy of them all is the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi is the classic commentator of Rashi and Chumash, and that's why all the later commentaries of Rashi and Chumash will start with the Mizrahi. They'll say, okay, here are the Mizrahi's issues, here is Terutzim, this is what I think, but they always give that cover of the Din Kidima to the Mizrahi. So the Mizrahi. So the Gur Aryeh, by the way, if you're not familiar with Gur Aryeh, it's a commentary not on Chumash, it's a commentary on Rashi and Chumash. It's a super commentary. It's a commentary on Rashi and Chumash. So he points out that the Mizrahi asks our kasha. We say that let us kill the Betzorah Mara Zakai. Why should you wait till he's chayiv? So, but what do you mean? That sounds like we're going to pre-punish him. We're going to give him the punishment that he will one day deserve. We'll just give it to him before he deserves it. But over here, he's never going to do anything for which he's chayiv skila. Where is he ever going to deserve it? So says the Mizrahi himself, if you look in the page Shin Mem Hei, it says on the top, in the photocopy page of Gur Aryeh, Maral, it says Shin Mem Hei on the top. So he says, V'tiretz hara'im, in the second line in the right-hand column, V'tiretz hara'im d'haim elastim abrios rotzolomar v'shabbos. So he says, when the Gemara says that he's going to be elastim abrios, it means he's going to do so on Shabbos. And if he does so on Shabbos, then he's Mechal Shabbos. And what's the onus for being Mechal Shabbos? Skila. So why do we give him Skila? Because he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. Very similar to the answer of the Yad Ramah, right, that we saw yesterday. So he's going to be in violation of an Aveir, that he's Chayiv Skila. Lefichach, Nidon B'Skila. Therefore, he gets Skila. I don't recall if we discussed yesterday whether the violation of Shabbos means that the killing itself is a violation of Shabbos, or that Mistama, a guy who kills, is probably also going to violate Shabbos. From the Yad Ramah, it sounded like the latter way, that a guy who kills Mistama is going to violate Shabbos also. From the Re'im, the way the Maral quotes it at least, sounds much more the former way, that since he's going to kill on Shabbos, a murderer is not particular about when he kills, so killing on Shabbos is Chil Shabbos. So he's going to be Chayv Skila, because he's killing, it's Netilas Neshama, it's Shochet. He's in violation of killing on Shabbos. So we pointed out that Tosfos seems to be against this idea. Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph seems to say that if you hold Mekalkel B'Chabura is Pater, in general, when it comes to Melachos of Shabbos, to violate a Melach of Shabbos, to get punished for Melach of Shabbos, it has to be Derech Tikkun. You have to be doing something productive. And if you're killing with no productive benefit that comes out of that killing, so that's mekalkel, that's a destructive act, and you're not going to be chayiv for it. So why are you chayiv for shochet on Shabbos? When you shecht an animal, why are you chayiv?
You're going to eat it.
You need it. It's very productive. You made it kosher now. But it was Eivrim and Achai before. Now it's kosher meat. So fantastic. That's very productive. Why do we need a pasuk to tell me that Beis Din, not that Beis Din can kill people, but Tosel of the Air deals with the context, in the context of Beis Din killing people on Shabbos. And the assumption is that it would be Chil Shabbos for Beis Din to kill somebody on Shabbos, either killing, where's the tikkun? So it tells us, yeah, it's kapara. The tikkun is that they're doing onish Beis Din. But Stam, a guy, a murderer, a bandit, kill somebody? There's no tikkun. So you wouldn't even be chayiv Shabbos. You wouldn't be chayiv skila for that kind of Chilul Shabbos. That is not the Maharal's kasha on the Re'im, but that's stam, a kasha one could ask on the Re'im. That unless the Re'im assumes Mekalkel b'chaburas chayiv, it's machlokas tanayim. If, in general, by Hilchos Shabbos, if you do something in a destructive way, it's not considered a malacha. So let's say if you're, what's a good example of doing something in a destructive way where it's not considered a malacha? I don't know, anytime you do anything in a destructive way, I don't know, think about destroying, it's not considered a malacha. But what about those malachos that by their very nature are destructive? Like making a chabura, a wound. By its very nature, it has applications of, you know, doing something positive, but typically if you ask someone, first word, you know, word association, injury. So people assume, yeah, bad, destructive, no good. They don't like that. That's a negative word. That's not a positive word. Even though there are some injuries that are positive, that have a positive element. But by the very nature of destructive, burning something, right? When you burn something down, is that destructive? So sometimes it's productive, but by its very nature, it's destructive. So there's machlokes tanaim by mekalkel b'chabura, whether it's chayiv or pater. When is that called destructive? When it's mekalkel b'chabura? Or do you say, no, the nature of this malach is that it's supposed to be destructive, and therefore you're going to be chayiv and mekalkel b'chabura. But if you assume, like the Shita, that mekalkel b'chabura is pater, the Mizrahi is very, very difficult over here. Why would you be chayiv skila for murdering someone on Shabbos? But the Maral has a different problem with it anyway. And the Maral's problem, the truth is, I don't understand the Maral's problem. Maral says, what I don't like about this Mizrahi is, so you have a guy who's going to be a murderer, right? We don't know when he's going to murder. Might be on a weekday, might be on a Shabbos. Because he might murder on a Shabbos, in which case he's going to be chayiv skila, we give him skila now. We know he's going to be a murderer. That's the Chiddush HaKrav. The Torah is Mechadish to us that we're able to predict with 100% accuracy that he will murder. But we don't know when he's going to murder somebody. So the Mizrahi says, oh, it might be on Shabbos, so give him skila. Asks the Maral, there is a pasuk that we darshan all over Masech Sanhedrin called Vihitzilu Ha'eda. Vihitzilu Ha'eda tells us that do whatever you can to get someone off the hook. Try not to have someone killed. So we're always makil on a Safik Nefashos. Let's say I'm not sure if someone's Chayiv Misa or not Chayiv Misa. What do? Does Beis Din kill him? Of course not. Vihitzilu Ha'eda. So he says, I don't get it. The Mizrahi is saying, yeah, this guy's going to be a murderer. He might kill on Shabbos, so give him skila now. Yeah, but he might not kill on Shabbos. So how can you give him skila? He may not kill on Shabbos. So that's the Maral's problem. Why do I not understand the Maral's problem? Why is this not a... I didn't understand how this is an application of Yitzilu Eida. What does Yitzilu Eida mean normally?
If he's going to get killed or if he's not going to get killed.
Right. Over here, you're dealing with a guy... He's going to get killed. It's a question of how to kill him. I don't know if that's Vitzilu Eida. There may be some other rule somewhere in this Masechta that deals with that, you know, giving him the lesser of the two punishments, but it's not, I don't think it's Vitzilu Eida. Vitzilu Eida is kill him or don't kill him. Over here it's about, you know, you're giving him Saif or you're giving him Skila. But anyway, that's the Maral's Kasha on the Mizrahi. But what I want to focus on more is the Maral's own teretz to this question. Why do you give this guy Skila? So says the Maral, V'yira de lo Kasha. Even if I agree, even if I were to agree to the svara of the Mizrahi that the misa of a ben sora mor is a pre-onesh for what he's going to do later, still it's not a problem that he gets skila. The problem ben sora mor, as we saw in Moshe yesterday, is that he's an addict. An addict stops at nothing to satisfy his addiction. So it's not like, oh, he'll do it one time, then it'll get better. It's like when you have a gambling addict and I just need this one time, I just need to borrow $10,000, just this one time. The worst thing you could do for a person like that is what they tell, I heard Dr. Tversky speak once, Rabbi Tversky, about gambling addictions. The worst thing that a parent could do to a child is a gambling addict and just needs the money just this one time, then I'm never going to gamble again, I swear. The worst thing you could do is give him the money. Because once you give him that money, okay, I got it this time. And next time I'll figure out a way to lie and cheat and steal and whatever, because he just needs it. He just needs to keep on going. So the concern of Ben Sora Mar is not that he's going to be a murderer. It's going to be that the concern is that he's going to be a serial killer. He's going to be a mass murderer. That's the concern. So what? So says Maral, for murder, you chayv saif. For mass murder, you deserve worse than saif. You deserve skila. So since Ben Sora Mar is not destined to be just stam murderer, he's destined to be a mass murderer, so he's chayv skila. So if they catch, whatever, mass murderer, Jack the Ripper, give him skila? What's the halacha?
No.
You give him saif. You don't give him skila. It's not true. So the Maral knows that, obviously. The Maral says, yeah, but that's technicality. The halacha is you're only allowed to judge him for one crime at a time. And once you're killing him, you already judged him for the first murder, so you're only allowed to judge him for one murder at a time. When you're judging someone for a crime that they committed, you can only judge for one crime at a time. And therefore, you can only judge him for the first murder. So he's chayv saif. So that's it, even though he killed 100 people. But by the Ben Sora Mora, the trick is, we're not judging him for a crime that he's committed. We're judging him based on what he would be destined to do. What does he really deserve for killing multiple people? He really deserves skila. And by Ben Sora, we have the advantage of being able to actually give that to him. If we had to judge him for a crime that he actually committed and we needed aidim to that crime, we would only be allowed to give him saif. We wouldn't be allowed to give him skila because we would only be able to allow to judge him at one crime at a time. But since we're not judging him about something that he actually did, we're judging him based on his future, we're able to judge the whole package, and the whole package deserves skila. Why is it that we have to judge him for only one at a time? He killed 100. So why do I have to judge him by each one individually? So the Maral writes, all he says as follows. De'ein Bezdin mechayvin also rak al chet echad shabau alav edim. Bezdin can only be mechayv him for one aveira that edim come to testify against him about. And in the footnote, Rabbi Hartman writes, based on the famous drasha of the Gemara Ksubis, Mishum risha achas ata mechayv v'yata mechayv mishum shtei rishayos. You can only be mechayv a person for one crime, not for two. That's a din Bezdin. They can't be mechayv a person more than chet echad that he had done. And therefore, you can't judge it for more than that. Any question?
Yeah, if you're projecting for the future, then why not just say, oh, he killed someone, and now he's chayv saif. Not, okay, he might continue to, but like after the first one that he would do, you know what I'm saying? So he should still be chayv saif.
Right, but the chiddush of Ben Sorer is that it's not that you stop at any given point, because if you were to stop at any given point, you'd wait till he actually commits a crime before you punish him. The Chiddush Ben Sora in the pre-punishment is that we look at, let's say he was allowed to live a life without being bothered. What would he end up doing? When he dies, Zachar Me'evesim, what would he end up doing? And we could look at that whole picture and then bring it all back and say, we judge him now. Because if we were dealing with it reasonably, we wouldn't do any of that. We would just wait till he commits a crime and then punish him. This idea that a mass murderer, it's a technicality that we can't give him skila. That really he does deserve, but it's a technicality that we can't, is better explained by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi, it's in the packet somewhere, in Har Tzvi Al HaTorah. He wrote five volumes of Tshuvas, Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and he, I'm sure many of you may have seen the Sefer Mekrei Kodesh on Yomim Tovim, called Mekrei Kodesh, that was also by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. A very phenomenal Talmud Chacham, who's a Rav of Yerushalayim in the middle of the 20th century. And I believe he's the great-grandfather of Rabbi Yonason Sachs from Yeshiva University. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's great-grandson. So anyway, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi says this basic idea. If you look in, I apologize, the packets are a little out of order. You know, the way you have them, I don't think I put them in exact order. Don't worry, in mine I fixed it, but in yours it's not. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes, Zos va'od, in the bottom of the right-hand side of the page, second to last paragraph, Zos va'od, Hasvar nosenes desayiv chayiv al ritzicha achas, avlam horik harbe yischayiv onashchamur yosar hainu skila. It says the same thing as Maral, that it's logical, if you kill one time, you chayiv saif, if you kill many times, you should chayiv something worse, skila. Now, here's where he explains why it is that we can't give skila for multiple killings. We can't actually give it when a person is a mass murderer. Says, because any edus to try to give the guy skila is going to be edus she'atiyachal azima. why? Kamoshkasu Tosus Sanhedrin. Al Pite Rutzam Efsha Ladono Beskila Al Ritzicha Shnia. Adam tested, let's say a guy has already been tried for one murder and he's already been convicted. So he's going to be chayv saif. But now we want to upgrade him to a skila. So we have Adam come to court and try him for a second murder. Right? What would happen if those Adam become Adam Zomman? We would say, oh, we want to do to you what you try to do to him. What did you try to do to him? I tried to take a person who was anyway going to get saif and upgrade his murder to skila. How are you going to do that to me? I'm not supposed to get saif anyway. It was gavra ketila katul. They came to testify about a man who anyway was going to get killed. The second set of edim came to testify about a man that was anyways going to get killed. So it's a technicality in hilchas edus. The halach is any edus shiyata yachal azima that you can't turn into edim zomim is an invalid edus. So these edim are trying to kill a gavra ketila. Mela, they're bad edim. Okay, so let's say it's the first edim. First edim, maybe we should have those are also they also can't be mechayev skila. Why? Because they were only trying to be mechayev chenek in their edus. So if they're going to contribute to a chiv of skila through their edus, then it's edus shetiach lazima. No, I only tried to give him chenek. I didn't know there was going to be other edim to testify about a second murder. We were only testifying about one murder. So it will never be edus shetiach lazima. It's a pure technicality. But this is gewaldic, because it's a technicality in what? In Kabbalah's Eidos, in Hilchus Eidos. By Ben Soramora, you don't need Eidos to the murder. Why not? Because there's no murder! He didn't do anything! He ate some meat, drank some wine. So whenever you don't have the problem of the technicality of the Kabbalah's Eidos, because you don't need a Kabbalah's Eidos on the murder, because there's no crime! So Mela, we can give him what he really deserves. Where Rabbi Frank says it's pashut that someone who's a mass murderer really deserves skila. It's a technicality that we can't try him for a second murder after we already tried him for a first murder. A double jeopardy kind of technicality. But that's a technicality in Hilchas Eidos. That's only when you need Eidos to the crime. We don't need Eidos to the crime over here. Beautiful Ha'ara. Where I wanted to go with this, though, is I think Rabbi Frank is actually saying something much, much bigger. And the Maral is saying something much, much bigger. And that is this very concept, that if you do an Avera once, so you chayv that punishment. You do it twice, I would say, okay, we chayv that punishment twice. Elamai, we can't kill you twice, so we're not going to give you a herek twice. But Maral says, no, it's not the way it works. It works incrementally, meaning more than incrementally, rather. It works exponentially. You do an Avera once, you chayv X. You do an Avera twice, you're not chayv X times 2. It's now qualitatively different. You're treated qualitatively different. Because doing an Avera twice is worse than doing, than let's say one man doing two Averas is worse than two people each doing one Avera. Because the quantity adds up and changes the quality. For instance, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that says that when a person does an Avera twice, it becomes mutter for him. So the Gemara says, mutter for himself kadaitach, mutter lo sal kadaitach. What? You do an Avera, all you got to do if you accidentally were Mechal Shabbos, all you got to do it again. And then it's mutter to you. No, Gemara says it's ridiculous. What does it mean? It means Nasis lo keheter. He's going to think, by the time he does it twice, he already thinks it's a heter. Gemara says by the time he does it a third time, he thinks it's a mitzvah. You know, but that's just the human psychology. That's the way we work. First time, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Second time, not so bad. You know, after that, that's what I do. It's my shita. So it's just, that's the way we have to justify our behaviors in life. But what do you see from that? That by doing it twice, it's not just stam one times two. It changes the whole nature of the whole Avera. This concept, that doing something multiple times, that quantity of Averos, can change the way we qualitatively look at the Averos, is the subject of a major essay written by Rav Yosef Engel in Lekach Tov. Yosef Engel, Rav Shecht is a huge Rav Yosef Engel fan. He loves to quote Rav Yosef Engel because they think very similarly to each other. Rav Yosef Engel likes to think in terms of rules, in terms of general klalim that apply throughout all of Shas. So some of the klalim are klalim that are already discussed by early Rishonim and Achronim, and sometimes he comes up with his own klalim. He says, I wonder if there's a rule in this type of issue. And he makes up a topic that no one ever discussed before. And then he like takes you through all of Shas and tries to figure it out. So in Lekach Tov, Klal Tezvav, what he essentially says is something that no one ever really speaks about before. And that is, if you have to figure out quantity versus quality in mitzvos and isurim, so which is stronger? A bigger quantity or a bigger quality? Or more quality? What's stronger in mitzvos and isurim? So Rav Zwengel says, I wonder about that. So I thought of 26 places in Shas and Poskim where it comes up. And he goes through the whole Klal Tezvav of 26 examples. I don't know if we're going to do all 26, but I thought it would be nice to see how a Bucky in Shas, you know, thinks about this kind of issue. We'll see a number of them. Maybe we'll see a few more tomorrow. He starts with what sets him off is a very famous Ran. The Ran of Maseches Yuma talks about if you have a Chol Masukan on Shabbos, you have someone who's Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, and the halacha obviously is Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana. But let's say the doctor comes, the doctor says, the only cure for this illness is if this person eats the most delicious Nevela steak. He has to eat a nice big steak that's Nevela. Can't be Shechted. It's got to be Nevela. Got to shoot the animal in the head. Not Nevela. He says, he just has to eat a delicious steak. Doesn't say Nevela. He says he has to eat a delicious steak. It has to be whatever. I don't know how big steaks are, but a very, very large steak. It has to be 30 kizesim, let's say, of steak that he needs to eat, and then he's going to be all better. But it's Shabbos, and you don't have any steak. But what you do have is a cow. And what you also have is treif steak, for whatever reason. Somehow it got there in your freezer. So you have this treif steak, and you have, or let's say it's cooked already. Or let's say you don't need to cook it, you need to eat raw steak, right? So you have treif steak, and you have a cow. So what should you do? You got to save this guy's life. He needs to have steak. Should you give him the treif steak, or should you shecht the cow and give him kosher steak? Which one would you do? So which is the worst issue? If you shecht the cow, you'd be mechal Shabbos. Chil Shabbos, skila. Guy eats nevela, let's say he's going to shech the cow. Let's assume, we're not sinning for somebody else. He's going to do it for himself, let's say. The guy's going to eat nevela. What kind of avera is that? It's a lo sase. Okay. It's a lav in the Torah. Chayv misa? No. Not for nevela. So it's a no-brainer, right? Of course, let him eat the nevela. Don't shech the cow. Don't do chiv skila. Says the Ran, b'shem the Ravid. Not so fast. If the doctor says he only has to eat one kezayis, so then of course you're right. Better for him to do the losase of eating nevela rather than do chil Shabbos, which is skila. Clearly. But the doctor said he needs to eat 30 ounces, 30 kezayisim, let's say, of steak. Chil Shabbos and shechting an animal will happen once. It's one shechita. Now you have the whole animal. You can eat the whole thing. It's one ma'is avera. Whenever you have an Isra Achila, or a Mitzvah Achila for that matter, Halach al-Moshe Misinai, Shiurim Chatzitzin Mechitzin, or Halach al-Moshe Misinai, one of the Shiurim that's Halach al-Moshe Misinai is a Shiur of Kezayis. So whenever you have a Mitzvah Achila or an Isra Achila, except for when it's not, except for like Yom Kippur, the Onesh comes for each and every Kezayis. So there's a separate Isra for each and every Kezayis. So if he's got to eat 30 Kezayisim, it's 30 Averos. So now what should you do? He could either do 30 lavin by eating the nevela, or do one big isra skila by shechting the animal. So says the Ravid, the quantity outweighs the quality over there. That once you're doing so many averos, even though they're lesser, they outweigh the quality. So Rav Yosef Engel says, that got me thinking.
So for every kezayit, it would be another avera?
That's a lot of thinking. Right. For every kezayit of achila, of achilas nevela, it would be another avera. But for the shechita, it's just one shechita. The whole animal is... is now able to be eaten based on that one shechita. So for the Chil Shabbos, it would only be one Chil Shabbos. So as Rav Yosef Engel says, it got me thinking. So let me bring you on a tour and fasten your seatbelts and go through various places where we find this type of idea. So his first raya is somewhat, some of the rayas are very straightforward and very easy. Some of them are a little more involved in the sugyas that he's bringing from. First one is somewhat involved. Quotes a Gemara Maseches Nazir, Daf Mem Chesam and Beis. where the Gemara learns based on a pasuk that a nazir is allowed to be metame to a mes mitzvah. If there's a mes mitzvah, someone who has ein lo kovrim, there's no one to bury him, a nazir could be metame. Who else is normally not allowed to be metame to anybody, but for mes mitzvah can be metame? Kohen gadol, not just a kohen, even a kohen gadol could be metame to a mes mitzvah. So there is a machlokas over there. What if the guy is both a nazir and a kohen gadol? It's a good kasha how you could do that. Because Kohen Gadol needs to get frequent haircuts. Nazir's never allowed to get haircuts. Whatever, he's only Nazir Lamed Yom. Kohen Gadol, I think it's only every Lamed Yom. I think. A Melech gets a haircut every day, right? The Gemara Sanhedrin says, second paragraph, I think Mishnah. I don't know. I think a Melech gets every day or every week or something, but a Kohen Gadol gets every Lamed Yom, I think. So anyway, so you have a Kohen Gadol who's a Nazir. Can he be Metami to a Meis Mitzvah? So the Gemara is a Machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva requires an extra pasuk to teach me that someone who's both a Kohen Gadol and him, everyone agrees he can be. The question is, do you need a separate limud? Or do you say, well, once I have a limud that a Kohen Gadol can, and I have a limud that a Nazir can, so Mela, Kohen Gadol is a Nazir, can be Matami to Meis Mitzvah. Do I need a pasuk for that, or do I not need a pasuk for that? So the Gemara over there says, Salka Daita Chamina, Ki Shoy Rachman al Meis Mitzvah Nazir Rekoin Di Isra Lavihu, Avon Milu Pesach De Kares Lo Yitami Le Meis Mitzvah. So he says, I might have had a Havamina that when do we allow someone to be Tame to a Meis Mitzvah? That's if he's a Nazir, is a Kohen where it's an Isra Lav. But let's say a guy is not going to be able to do Korban Pesach if he's Tame to a Meis Mitzvah. Or he's not going to be able to do a mila because he's mitami to a meis mitzvah. So then it's going to be in violation of an isra kares. So I would think in that situation he should not be mitami to the meis mitzvah. So Tosav there says, Fish lama le Rabbi Akiva. Kiva did tzarech kara lehecha di ispe kedushas koyim gadol vuhu nazir. I understand, according to Rabbi Akiva, that I need a pasuk to tell me that when he's both the koyim gadol and a nazir, that he's allowed to be metami to a meis mitzvah, but I need a pasuk to teach that to me. I don't say mali chadav, mali treylav, and I don't say what difference does it make if he has one of the isurim or two of the isurim. Doesn't matter. Either it does make a difference that if he has two isurim, that it's a totally different animal now. It's a totally different being if he's a kohen gadol and a nazir. So I need a pasuk. So achanami isur krami yusuf da choso sheyidcha meis mitzvah say the pesach umila afgav sheyish ben kares. So then I understand why I need a pasuk of achoso to teach me that they could be tamei even if they're going to miss Karm Pesach, even if they're going to do something that's chayiv kares. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, that there's no difference between one lav and two lavin. So I would have thought that there should be no difference whether the aver I'm going to violate is an averus lav or an averus kares. Essentially, the way Tosafot understands it is, if you're of the mindset that two lavin is fundamentally different than one plus one, that when you're a nazir and a kohen gadol, that's fundamentally different than being a nazir or being a kohen gadol, and it needs its own pasuk, then it makes sense to also be of the mindset that being chayiv kares is fundamentally different than being chayiv alav. That just because I could sacrifice my tahara when it's only a violation of a lav to sacrifice my tahara, it's fundamentally different to sacrifice my tahara when it's a violation of kares to sacrifice my tahara. If you're going to make a distinction in quantity, it's mistaver that you'll make a distinction in quality as well. Bud says Tosfos, according to the Shita, that 1 plus 1 equals 2 when it comes to averus, that it doesn't equal 2 plus, it doesn't equal some new qualitatively different avera, some qualitatively different status. It's just 1 plus 1. You don't need a separate pasuk to teach me that a nazir and a kohen gadol is allowed to be metami to a meis mitzvah. If you hold that way, well then why would you need a separate pasuk to tell me that when you're chayv kares you're allowed to be metami to a meis mitzvah? It shouldn't make any difference. Quantity, quality, it's all the same. That's the kasha Tosos has. And Tosos says, no, there's a big difference. Quantity is one thing, quality is something else. When you're saying that 1 plus 1 equals two, and you're still going to be metami to meis mitzvah. So fine, that's when you still be metami to meis mitzvah for violating lavin, even multiple lavin. But that's not necessarily going to tell me that the same is true when it comes to violating nisr kares. Violating nisr kares right now is much more serious, and if it's much more that's echos, that's qualitatively different. So quality wise, Tosel says, is totally different than the difference in quantity. So the way Rav Yosef Engel understands the Shakla Vitaria in the Tosos in Nazir is that in Tosos Kasha he assumed, what difference does it make if it's a difference in quantity, a difference in quality? Bigger is bigger. And the Tosos' answer is, no! Difference in quality is fundamentally different than a difference in quantity. Difference in quantity isn't going to change much, it's just 1 plus 1. A difference in quality changes everything. So advantage, quality. When you have to decide quality over quantity, in this, in the round of Maseches Nazir, advantage goes to quality. In the Ran and Yuma that we started with the Shechita versus the eating Nevelus, B'Shem the Ravid, advantage, quantity. Right? The quantity wins out, or in that case, loses out because it's too bad of an Avera. So the advantage goes to quantity. Take a simpler example. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Hakol lefi rov hamaaseh, that everything is based on rov hamaaseh. So the Rambam says, what does that mean? If you have $100 to give to tzedakah, so he says, giving 100 times $1, even though you're only giving $1 each time, is better than giving $100 to one ani in one lump sum. Why? When I give $100 to one ani, qualitatively, that's a much better mitzvah. I'm nearly changing his life in a significant way. When I give $1, qualitatively, it's a much lower mitzvah, much smaller mitzvah. So I'm only giving him $1, I'm not really changing his life much. But, quantitatively, if I give $1 at a time, I will be doing many, many mitzvahs. So it's 100 small mitzvahs versus one giant mitzvah. And says the Rambam, Pirush Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Hakolafi Rov HaMa'aseh, not Hakolafi Godel HaMa'aseh. Had it said Hakolafi Godel HaMa'aseh, so what would I have said? Yeah, bigger the better. The bigger the mitzvah, the better. It doesn't matter how much quantity there is, as long as it's a really qualitatively big mitzvah. So give $100. But it says Hakolafi Rov HaMa'aseh, abundance of mitzvahs. So the more mice and mitzvahs you have, quantity wins. So in Hilchas Tzedakah, quantity versus quality, advantage, quantity. Is that a raya to all of Shas? Why is Tzedakah maybe not the best raya? So why do we give Tzedakah? This is a famous question. It's a question that was posed by Turnus Rufus HaRasha to Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara Masechta Basra Daf Yud. Why do we give Tzedakah? Why does a Jew give Tzedakah? So Tzimtzum Rofa says to Rabbi Akiva, I understand. If Hashem really loved Aniyim so much, well, let him give them money. Why do I have to give him money? Let God take care of it. So Rabbi Akiva responds to Tzimtzum Rofa, to Rasha, no, Hashem of course could take care of them. The Aniyim is going to get whatever he's going to get, no matter whether I give or I don't give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to arrange that he's going to get whatever he's supposed to get. That was ready to determine Rosh Hashanah. Why do I have the opportunity to give? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to purify myself, to make myself better, to be mezakeh me, to give me the opportunity to do the mitzvah. So it could be part of the nature of the mitzvah of tzedakah is that it's a mitzvah ben adam la'atzma. Meaning, we think of tzedakah as mitzvah ben adam la'chavera, which it is. It's a mitzvah ben adam la'chavera, you're helping to support somebody else, and it is a goal-oriented mitzvah. And on that level, giving $100 is a qualitatively greater Bein Adam L'Chaveira. But if you look at it from a Rabbi Akiva perspective, that I'm not really giving him anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him everything. It's really about me. The mitzvah of tzedakah is about how much is this going to change me into a more giving person, into a person that's a better Tzelem Elokim. Well, then the answer might be that it's pashut that giving multiple times will make a greater impact than giving one lump sum will. So it would be pashut in that case. That's why it wins over here by tzedakah. not necessarily a raya in all of Shas, when you have a Ben Adam Makom or a Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Over here it's a fundamental issue of Ben Adam L'Atzmo. He has several Sanhedrin related examples as well that I think are worth taking a look at, not necessarily in the sugyas that we've done so far, but maybe we'll go through Bez Hashem tomorrow a couple of more examples, and then we have another minute. Maybe we'll do one more now. I don't know which clock is right. Mine or that one? That one says we have 2 more minutes. So one more example for now. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchus Tzitzis, in Aruch Chaim Simen Ches Siftes, says that before you make a bracha on your tzitzis, you should look at the strings, make sure they're all there. Because if it's possible, it's going to be a bracha levatala. So, ask Rav Yosef Engel, or the Magen Avraham really, if it's possible to be a bracha levatala, if it's possible, you have another problem anyway. Even if you're not making a bracha, if it's possible, you have a problem. What's your problem if it's possible? Your beged is dalet kanfos. If you don't have kosher tzitzis, you're wearing a beged of dalet kanfos without tzitzis. So isn't that problematic anyway? Why do we emphasize, it's going to be bracha levatala? If the tzitzis aren't kosher, you're in violation of bracha levatala, we'll see so, but no, you're in violation of being mevatel every single second that you're wearing a beged of dalet kanfos without tzitzis. Every single moment you're being mevatel in mitzvah seida oraisa. So he says, what you see from the Shulchan Aruch is that what's the greater concern for us? A one-time violation of bracha levatala, or an every second violation after violation of bitul mitzvah saseh of tzitzis? Apparently Shulchan Aruch was more deeply concerned about bracha levatala. Why? Qualitatively, bracha levatala lo sisa is called by Chazal an isur chamur. It's considered to be a very severe isur. So bracha levatala we treat with a certain level of severity. Qualitatively, a much worse isur. Quantitatively, every moment that I'm wearing a beged of dal kanfos, I'm violating an aveira. But the Shulchan Aruch apparently is more concerned with the quality of the isur. So in Hilchos Tzitzis, quality versus quantity, advantage, quality. Right. So that's Bez Hashem. We'll go through a few more tomorrow, and then we'll go into the Maharal's final answer, and as well as the first half of that Maharal that we didn't yet get to, and on Sunday we'll be all ready for the next idea. Yeah.
Just to bring it back to our case, so when we're dealing with the mass murders, that's obviously quantity.
That's quantity.
So what's like the...
No, there's no...
The other side?
That the nature of the Misa, that again, meaning that we don't just say that quantitatively when he does multiple murders, so he's chayv multiple herets. No, qualitatively changes him. Right, I'm trying to say is that I think that tells you that quantity outweighs quality. The other side would be someone's Mechal Shabbos, Chayv Skila. I do 2 lesser Averos, all of a sudden I'm on the same level as someone's Mechal Shabbos. Right? It puts me on the same level as someone's Chayv Skila.
But there's no difference between quantity and quality.
Within murder, no.
Yeah.
But a guy who does Chil Shabbos or does something else, something that's Chayv Skila for, sleeps with his sister, does something that is Chayv Skila for, so he did something that is qualitatively a worse Avera. When I murder, I'm only chayv herek, so it's qualitatively lesser of error. But if I do it twice, all of a sudden, I'm chayv skila, so I'm even with him.
And then it's the same quality.
Right.
Okay.
Meaning, it's really, I did the lesser of error multiple times, and that brings me to the same level as if I had done a greater of error, a qualitatively worse of error. All right, let's do it. Whoever can.